actually tall.
Eleanor is the comic relief. She's freakishly tall. I love it.
Freakishly tall, as you can see. If I stood in front of her, you wouldn't be able to see her.
You get that microphone over there, child. Freakishly high for you. Okay, this thing. But I can't see, so this is really good for me. I know I'll need to get my glasses. You know, I've written a million things for weeks. Chances are I won't look at any of it. All right? Because I know this in my heart. I know this in my heart. And by the end of the night, we'll all know it. I'm not a Greek scholar. Is there any Greek scholars in this house? You're good, Stephanie. Oh, thank you. Come here. Thank you. I'm telling you, I've been sappy lately. Sappy. It's not really my nature, but oh, I could just bust out crying, I told Christy. I said, I could just bust out crying. He's so good to us. And I know we have to sing it over and over and over again to get that. That is the emphasis tonight. He told us. She has a prayer at the end of her bit. It's actually a word from God. And it's because God said, my children don't believe that I love them. They don't believe that I love them. God wants you to know his love. How many of you prepared yourself with the three videos, the DVDs? I kind of harped on that. Put your hands high because I can't see. Thank you. Good many of you. I've asked those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I've asked for the women of this church to prepare to come into this house knowing the love of God, knowing how much he loves them. And I asked you to watch three DVDs called Measureless Love. I'm going to recap that in a few minutes, but I thought it best to start with what Eleanor has and then to come back to this before we come to the altar. I will repeat that throughout the night because I want you to hear it in your head. I am going to come and do business with God. And if I need absolutely nothing, if nothing hits the mark in my life, I'm going to come as a servant and love another woman. We're not coming in this place. We're not taking our couple of hours without something, some residue, some truth on us, in us, and through us. So let's just start from the beginning. Actually, the journey begins groundbreaking. Groundbreaking, June 22nd. We were at the property praying, and Eleanor came to the property, and she looked like she'd seen a ghost. And she began to share a dream that we did not understand fully at the time. And we're not going to go into that dream tonight. But after that dream, with our mouths hanging down, what could this mean, God? What could this mean? He told us that there was going to be a time in this region that there would be a heaviness, a demonic siege, if you will. I called it. How many in my Sunday school class are here? Let me see your hands. What did I call it? An anointing of what? Stupid. Yes, stupidity. A stupid anointing. That good, well-meaning Christians were just doing stupid things. And they really didn't have a rhyme or reason for it. But, you know, that heaviness and that stupidity, that thing that was over the land, wasn't just in the land. It was over the region. It was over the world. It was over America for sure. And he said it would go from September 15th to March 11th. And in that time period, he was beginning to teach us how to fight the good fight of faith. That leads us to dream number two. And I'm going to let her talk. I'll just jump in wherever I can, and then we'll go from there.
I want to be transparent with you all tonight. I was going to be funny, but instead, I'm going to be transparent. I just want to lay a foundation by saying that that first dream that brought us to this dream was a dream that God was showing me that there are going to be things that come to the door of my life and my husband's life, that we will have to fight against, and things that we will have to fight for. And in that dream, he had given my husband and I a dagger to fight those things that had come to the door of our life that would try to destroy us. And I had to just today pick that dagger up and use it for my very own life. I woke up at 3:15 this morning in excruciating pain. And I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm an ovarian cancer survivor, 22 years. And over the last few months, I've been getting some, you know, sketchy reports from the doctor. And I got up this morning. I was in a tremendous amount of pain. Now, mind you, guys, cover your ears. I have no lady parts, so I can't reproduce, make any babies. You know, it's a good thing. I'm approaching the mountain of Jubilee. For all of you who know, Jubilee is 50. I'm at the base of the mountain. It's going to take me about 24 months to climb to the top. But I'm getting up and, you know... yes, I'm getting along. And so I don't have a problem with not, you know, having the parts to reproduce. But I was having issues this morning that I shouldn't have been having. And so I went to the doctor this morning, and after a long story, make a long story short, you know, they're checking to make sure that my cancer is not resurfacing. So even in this season, there are things that have come to the door of my life that I have to pick up this dagger that the Lord showed me. And after that first dream, a friend of mine said, you know, well, what was that dagger? Because it was just so tremendous, the power that it wielded. And I began to pray every day until the Lord revealed to me, what is that, Lord? And over a succession of 3 nights, I had the exact same dream 3 nights in a row. I was escorted to a room in the heavenly realm by the Lord, and the door swung open. I stepped into the room. The room was hazy with smoke. It smelled of incense. There before me was a table. The table was about 3 feet long or so, about a foot and a half wide, and a little more than 2.5 to 3 feet high. But there was something alive in this room. The smoke that filled the air seemed to take on the form of an intertwining DNA strand. This room was living. What was in this room was alive. I tried to take a step forward to see what was on the table, but I couldn't move my feet despite my best effort. I couldn't even will myself to move forward. Just as I realized I couldn't even move myself forward, the table began to move towards me. As the table moved towards me, an expectation began to swell within me. I woke up just before the table reached me. And the second night, I had the exact same dream. Again, I was escorted to the room in the heavenly realm by the Lord, and the door swung open. I stepped into the room. The room was hazy with smoke. It smelled of incense, and there before me was the table. Again, about 3 feet long or so, about 1.5 feet wide, and a little more than 2.5 feet high. There was something alive in that room, that same living thing. The smoke, the incense, the smoke of the incense that filled the room seemed to take on a DNA strand. It was like it was alive. It was living. I knew it was the Word. Despite my best efforts, I couldn't will myself to move forward. The table began to come towards me, and just as it began to move towards me, an expectation swelled within me. Just before the table reached me, I woke up. Got my attention. The third night, I had the exact same dream. Yet again, I was escorted to the same room in the heavenly realm. The Lord escorted me there. The door swung open. I stepped into the room. The room was hazy with smoke, and it smelled of incense. And there before me was a table, same table, about 3 feet long, about 1.5 feet wide, and a little more than 2.5 to 3 feet high. Again, living in that room, the smoke of the incense, the presence of the Word, it was alive. The smoke seemed to take on that DNA strand. It filled the air. Despite my best effort, I couldn't move myself forward. I realized I couldn't even will myself to move forward. The table began to move towards me, and as the table moved towards me, an expectation began to swell within me. Just as the table reached me on that third night, my arm automatically extended effortlessly and without any thought on my part to do so. Before me, as my hand opened, one of 12 daggers, which were stacked on that table, three across and four high. It lifted out of its stand and into my hand. And as my hand wrapped around the blade of the dagger, it wasn't like something foreign. It felt like an extension of my hand. It was a part of me. It was alive. And the blade began to sing. It made a sound like I'd never heard before. It wasn't an audible speaking as we know it. It was a heavenly sound. And the blade was singing, and this is the song that it was singing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Do this and you will live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Do this and you will live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And as the blade was singing this song over and over again in my hand, the word that was etched into the blade was the word that we now know as agapao. There was a brilliant red stone on the handle of the dagger. It glowed with the intensity of fire and the rhythm of a heartbeat, which I now know was the heartbeat of God. The diamond in the stone across from the red stone was shining bright with a brilliance like the sun. Now, while holding this dagger, I felt weak, but at the same time strengthened. Then I was washed with a feeling of unworthiness, but at the same time forgiveness. Then I felt righteous indignation stirring in me, coupled with an overwhelming compassion at the same time. As I stood holding this dagger, I knew this weapon was forged in heaven, not of any carnal nature, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. And I've had to wield this dagger this very day because fear was at the door of my life today. Fear and intimidation. Fear of, I don't want to have to do that again. I don't want to have to go there again. I got a beautiful grandbaby. Lord, I want to live to see her do this. I want to live to see her do. You promised me some things. And the enemy will come to the doors of our life to try to intimidate us, to try to steal, rob, kill, and destroy every promise that God has given. The only way we overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, on the handle of that dagger was another Greek word etched into it. When I woke up from that dream, I immediately grabbed a pen and paper, which over the years I've learned to keep in my nightstand because God speaks to me through my dreams. Mind you, I'm not an artist at all. I can't even draw stick figures, okay? I do a lot of things, but drawing is not one of them. And I sketched that dagger. My husband walked into the room, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was all over me as I was just sketching. And he was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I was like, got it from the Lord, got it from the Lord, got it from the Lord. And he was like, ooh. You know, and he began to pray, you know, thank you, Father, for, you know, your anointing. And, you know, because this man knows me. If you ask him some questions, give him a few dollars, he'll probably tell you some things that you may or may not want to know about me. But he was in awe of how the anointing of the Lord could allow me, you know, we've learned that, you know, my dreams, you know, it's like, ooh, that's different, you know, but to wake up and to be able to do something that is not a talent of mine naturally, I knew came from the Lord. Now, the inscription on the handle of the dagger, we now know they were Greek words, and the blade was agapao, and on the handle was the word logos, which is his word. So in grasping the word and inserting the blade of love is how you'll overcome, because that's how I had to overcome today. I had to grab the word. I had to grab the handle of that blade and remember what God told me about myself. I went over all my healing scriptures, all the promises that he made me, what his word says about me, what I know in his word is true. What I know in his word is true, what I believe. And the love. My doctor's office is in Ormond Beach. And we lived in Ormond before we moved to DeLand. Of course, everybody knows the DeLand story. We drove for years from Ormond Beach to DeLand of Milk and Honey because a church alive is worth the drive. And so I maintained relationship with my doctor. She was wonderful. And I've been driving back and forth to Ormond all this time because she is wonderful. Well, she informed me today, on top of all of the other news that I had, that she was leaving the practice. So I was like, well, that's the only reason I'm going to Ormond Beach. And my husband and I had been talking about just, you know, finding a local doctor, someone close. You know, we don't have to spend the gas money and the time. It's like, but I just really like her care, and I want to stay there. And so she had a young lady with her who was going to be taking over her position, another PA. And my first thought was, well, good, I don't have to drive to Ormond anymore. And then the Lord said, what about loving the new guy? But I don't want to love the new guy, God. I like the old guy. I want to find somebody else new to love, closer to my house. And he said, what does it matter who you love? I was like, okay, fine. So in the midst of all this bad news, we're going to send you to the lab to have CA-125 done, see if your tumor markers are up, and, you know, just, you know, all this. I'm like, I can't deal with this right now. The Lord was like, bless them. And so that's exactly what I did. I took a moment and removed myself from navel gazing, because at that point I was almost in a full panic. It's like, how timely of God to present this situation for me to be able to handle it according to his word, according to his promises, according to what he has engrafted in me, his living word. And so I looked at the new girl and I said, welcome to the practice. I look forward to many visits with you. You'll probably see my husband more than you'll see me, because he's a little more diligent. I only come when there's something wrong. But he likes those regular checkups. And I just blessed her. And I thanked her for being willing to step in and take over the caseload for my old doctor. And I just loved her. I loved her. I made her feel welcome. Instead of saying what I wanted to say, my initial thought was, oh, good, then I'm going to move my to somebody closer. I won't be coming back. I'm going to go, and I'm going to continue to bless, and I'm going to continue to love, and I'm going to continue to do what God says that we're supposed to do during our time on this earth to advance the kingdom of light. Right. I've got to believe what he says. I have to believe what he says. I choose to believe what he says. Because just like believing, love is a choice. And I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to grasp the handle of the word of that dagger. And I'm going to choose to thrust the love of God into my own heart first, and then into the hearts of others. And I'm choosing to believe. I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. A friend of mine shared this word with me one morning a couple of weeks ago, and it so burned in my heart that I have to share it with you, because it says, I believe. Believe, this is the Lord to us. Believe that I love you. Believe that I adore you. Believe that I cherish you. Believe that I long to pour on you my mercy. Believe that I died for you. Believe that I long to heal you. Believe that I desire to spend time with you. Believe that my word is for you. Believe that you are my beloved. Believe that I will sustain you. Believe that I will provide for you. Believe that I am your protector. Believe that I long to teach you my ways. Believe that I desire to reveal my beauty to you. Believe that I am your heavenly Father. Believe that I desire to produce my peace in you. Believe that I can fill you with joy. Believe that I have created you. Believe that I want you. Believe that you are loved. Believe that all things are possible. Believe that I can create. Believe that I am the creator. Believe that I know every hair on your head. Believe that I have given you life. Believe that I and only I am the great I am. Believe that I sustain your every breath. Believe that I will bless you. Believe that I hear your prayers. Believe that I see every tear. Believe that I am with you. Believe that I will never leave you. Believe that I am the author and finisher of your very life. Believe that I long to show compassion to you. Believe that I will correct you. Believe that I will light your path. Believe that I will speak unto your life. Believe that I am holy. Believe that I am just. Believe that I will give you wisdom. Ask. Believe that I am your high priest. Believe that I intercede for you. Believe that I hold back the flood in your life. Believe me that I desire the best for your life. Believe that I am able. Believe that I desire to produce fruit in your life. Believe that I can fill you with loving kindness. Believe that I can cleanse you and make you whole. Believe that I can strengthen you. Believe that my weapons are powerful. Believe that I see and know all things. Believe that I know your yesterday, today, and your tomorrow. Believe that I desire for you to prosper and be in good health. Believe that I love you with an unfailing love. Believe that I love you with an unconditional love. Believe that I am with you during the gentle day and the storms. Believe that I can calm the storm. Believe that I can shake foundations. Believe I can create in you a strong foundation. Believe that I can forgive your sins. Believe that I can teach you how to forgive. Believe that when you ask, I hear. Believe that I bestow blessings upon my children. Believe the word is powerful. Believe that I am preparing a place for you. Believe that I will return for you. Believe that my word is true. Believe that I have defeated hell, death, and the grave. Believe that I have overcome this world. Believe that I desire to reveal my truth to you. Believe that you are special to me. Believe that I call you lovely. Believe that I can turn the darkness in your life to light. Believe that I created the new day for you to enjoy. Believe that I have chosen an incredible plan for your life. Believe that I can create beauty out of your ashes. Believe that I can take a heart of stone and create a heart of flesh. Believe that I can remove all chains from your life. Believe that in me you can be free. Believe that I can take the darkness from your eyes. Believe that I can reveal my light to you. Believe that your ears can be open to hear my truth. Believe that I can walk with you. Believe that I can talk to you. Believe that I can give you dreams. Believe that I can give you visions. Believe that I can fill you with hope. Believe that my word can come alive in you. Believe that I can fill you to overflowing. Believe that I reward those who diligently seek me. Believe that the earth is my footstool. Believe that I bled for you. Believe that I love you. Believe. Choose to believe. Choose to love. Choose to believe that God loves you and that you can love your neighbor as yourself as you learn his love for you and your value and your worth to him and his kingdom so that you'll know the everlasting love of God. And then you'll be able to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Our problem is we do that. We believe the word and we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The problem is we don't really like ourselves. We don't really love ourselves. We're critical of ourselves. We talk worse about ourselves than the worst person we know could talk about us. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too thin, I'm too fat, my hair's too short, it's too long, it's too curly, it's too straight. I can't see, I can't read, I can't talk, I can't speak, I can't sing, I can't dance. We could go on and on and on, and so could this love letter from the Lord. It could go on. You choose to believe his word. His word is full. It's full of life. lay hold of what God has for us this weekend, to be able to grasp how deep, how wide His love is for us. Do you really believe that He loves you? If you do, begin to see yourself as He sees you. Not the way you've been looking at yourself, but see yourself the way God sees you. There's a tremendous amount of love. Tap into that reservoir. Tap in. I challenge you to tap in. I'm going to tap in. I have to. I don't know any other way.
You can keep that and stay here. Gentlemen, can you show us the drawing that Eleanor drew? Check it out, girls. Do you think she went to school for Greek?
I can't spell in English.
She really can't. Neither can I.
I'm a Joyzy Goyle. What do you expect?
Just look for a minute. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for anybody. She's not special in the sense that she has gifts. She's just an obedient servant. And that's our goal. That handle, and I don't read Greek, we had to look it up. We have to look up words when we get them. That is logos. Then there's the Alpha and the Omega in the middle there. And then there's the diamonds on the both sides of the logos. Then there's that red living stone. You know, red. What does red represent, girls? The blood. The sacrifice. Every time I see red, I said it reminds me of Gethsemane. And the blood drops. When Jesus at that rock said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will." See, when we say nevertheless, like Jesus, that sacrificial love makes all the difference. That sacrificial love makes us and has enabled us to be able to come into His presence. We're called His. And to me, the blood, the handle, and then for that blade, agapao, that's an action. It's not agape. Agape is the word you all know and pronounce wrong, agape. Especially if you're in New Jersey, you say agape. But it's agape. That word agape, the most used word for love in the New Testament. This is the verb of that. Agapao. See, I think it's even interesting that God didn't say agape on that blade. Because that's an action word. That's the Hebrew 4:12. My word is a sword. A two-edged sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. First of all, a sword's sharp. A two-edged sword's doubly sharp. He said His word is sharper than that. And it cuts between the joints and the marrow. And if you're in the medical field, that's a fine cut. Joints and marrow, soul and spirit. You're a trichotomy, made up of your mind, will, and emotions, which is your soul, your spirit, and your body. Well, God says His word cuts between the soul and the spirit. And it discerns your thoughts. We sang tonight about our thoughts. Your intentions. It discerns between your thoughts and your intentions. And it goes a step further. It fillets and lays open, lays it bare, the word says in Hebrews 4:12, for His inspection. That's why the word is referred to as a mirror. Because if we look into the law that gives life, the mirror of his law that brings life, we will see what's needed to change. We cannot do this without his help. Anything he asks us to do, he equips us for. And this journey, I mean, it's risky standing up here and sharing dreams like that. But do you understand why we don't have 1,000 women now, Sherry? Because 1,000 women, crazy, too much. First time I heard a woman tell a dream like that, I almost walked out. I did. I was like, what is she talking about? I hope none of you are going, what is she talking about? God's fixing to show you what he's talking about. He's going to teach us through this weekend a progression. And I believe the Holy Spirit handpicked Sherry and Michelle. And you're like, oh, you just have her because she's your daughter. No, I love that generation. I have put all my energy and prayers because I believe God's got some dynamic things to do. And he needs this generation.
Yes, he does.
And all of you of that generation, I believe it. And I believe God in you to change the world through obedience. And if God's put you in this house, he's going to teach you order. He's going to teach you that he operates strategically. And there's a piece for everyone to do. Why a dagger? Why? Doesn't it make sense why a dagger? A sword, I'd be out here fighting. But the dagger is something that you have to have very close contact. And that's on the affront, but what about first for ourselves? God intends, please girls, Michelle will talk about this tomorrow in a funny laughing way, but it's true because she's seen a lot in her 25 years. In the church, we cannot just grab this dagger over the weekend and start. He intends for us to learn to use it on ourselves. Surgery. That's what the Hebrews 4:12 word is. When you learn how to handle it for yourself, then he'll allow you to rescue, to love someone else. But close. I mean, it's close contact. It's sacrificing. It's his love, sacrificial. The towel. He put on the towel. It's close contact. And it's sacrificial. And it does cost. But that's why you're here. You're not at another church. You believe that. You do believe that. And folks, by the end of this weekend, we will put that in our hands. We will agree with the word. Peter, my brilliant son-in-law, I was on the phone with them because I wanted to be correct. You know, I didn't want to do agapeo anymore. I wanted agapao. And so Michelle and Peter both were teaching me about Greek. And then I, you know, gave what I thought was my concordance for Logos. And Peter gave me a good one. It's Thayer's concordance. And it's, he says that Logos is a word which uttered by the living voice embodies a concept or an idea. Logos. A word which uttered by the living voice. That blade was singing. That blade was alive. It embodies a concept or an idea. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning that blade sang. What did it sing?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Do this and you will live.
Stop right there. See that? That word right there is found in John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. John chapter 1, 1 and 2. Then the Spirit of the Lord, through Eleanor's pen, made a transition to, I believe this is Luke. Or Matthew, yeah. Matthew 22nd. I think I quoted Luke in that, Luke 10, yeah. 27 and 28. And it's switched here, but go ahead and read the rest.
Do this and you will live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Now, from that point, I want to tell you, I knew the theme for this keep was going to be love, and I knew that far back. October, November, December. As soon as I got out of the Feast of Tabernacles, I knew we were going to go into love. But that's all I knew. We came into the new year, and this church was challenged during the week of prayer and fasting with the three commandments. And the evangelist got up, and he said, well, how many, you know, knows the commandments? And everybody quoted this. Those are two commandments. So he said, what was the third commandment? What was the third commandment? The third commandment is found in John, and I don't want to misquote it, so let me find where my scriptures are. He said to love as I love. John, is it 10, 35? I can't see. I'm sorry, I can't see. A new commandment. Here it is. I'll read it from this one. It says John 13, 34 and 35. This is in the New Living. It says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Thank you for that light. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Look at that. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Let me read it again. You can open it in your version. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another, the love that I gave you that you're going to give them, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So when we quabble, when we spit, we don't do that because we're girls, but we spit in the spirit. We say mean things and we think mean things. When we do those kinds of things, we are not showing the world the love of God. Let me read you a quote here from Reynolds. So, a new type of love is given that, as the Greek expositors generally have urged, there is a deeper intensity in the love that can be found in the Mosaic principle. See, the first principle she quoted is from the Old Testament, and it is a Mosaic principle. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, she stated, well, the problem is sometimes we don't know how to love ourselves. And in January, ladies, we came here and we said, what does God mean by loving ourselves? Because that's an issue in and of itself. And that is why we watched Measureless Love for three DVDs, to understand his love for us and that his love in us will transform us. We cannot conjure it up. We cannot do enough to make it up. We don't have it, the capacity. If we fake it, believe me, the results are usually disastrous. There are tons of people in churches today that fake love. And they operate out of a religious spirit. But in their hearts, the Holy Spirit knows your heart. He knows when you smile and say, God bless you, you're saying, argh. He knows it. There's not a thing hidden from him, not in our thoughts, not in our actions, not anything. So let me go on. Love thy neighbor as thyself. In this commandment, which embraces the whole law, self-love is assumed and is made the standard for the love of neighbor. This command, on the other hand, would be based on a new principle, the one in John 13. The new principle and measured by a higher standard and even more than love of self altogether. Christ's love to his disciples was self-abandoning and self-sacrificing. I want to tell you something. What I studied, what I learned through a lot of studies that I've been doing. We have only begun, ladies. Right after this, we're starting believing God. Believing God has all to do with love. Everything you heard in measureless love came from believing God. We're going to start with believing God, and we're going to carry on from there. I want to tell you, this commandment is only found in John. And it was during the last few hours of the Lord's, before they took him. Before Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples in the upper room. After Jesus had washed their feet, they sat down to eat. During the course of the meal, Jesus predicted that one of them would betray him. Soon after this pronouncement, Judas left the room, and Jesus spoke these words to those who remained. Dear children, how brief are these moments, for I must go away and leave you. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Do you see when he gave that? Only on his last night with his disciples did Jesus share this new directive. On the eve of leaving his faithful followers, his final words took on the utmost importance. In essence, he was saying, "You've been with me for 3 years, and you know the commands I've given you from Moses. But now, as I depart, I'm giving you a new commandment. Listen to it carefully, because the command is essential for the establishment and unity of the church, and for your witness to the world." As essential for unity, to witness to the world, to show his love. Loving as God loved us is hard. He's told us a lot over the past few days, and he'll tell us a lot more. But one thing he did tell us, the whole reason why we're training you in this way, is he said, as he says in Timothy, that perilous times are ahead of us. Just a few Sundays ago, we were singing that song about when the storm clouds rise, I will be still and know that you are God. And God spoke to my heart, and I spoke it out. You will not be still when the storm comes unless you secure yourself in my word. You're kidding yourself. He didn't quite say it like that, but that's the way I hear it. Don't you believe for a minute that you will be still and know that I am God if you do not securely grasp the Ephesians 3 that we learned with measureless love. Ephesians 3. 14 through 19. Girls that missed it, listen to this. And I'll tell you, the progression of doing measureless love, I stumbled into that. We get this. We don't know what to do with it. We found the study on measureless love. If you have yet to see it, I still have the DVDs. We'll put them up in the red room. You owe it to yourself to be secure. I'm going to show you a clip that summarizes the measureless love. But I want to talk to you for a minute. I want you to hear Ephesians 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. Faith. May I say that if he doesn't strengthen us through his power, Christ will not dwell in our hearts, and especially not in his path. May have power together with all the saints, all of us in this room, to grasp to grasp that dagger, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This portion of Scripture is a progression of where we will go through Saturday. We are expecting to do some business with the stuff tonight. Michelle will add to that tomorrow morning about God's nature and his unfailing love. We will go into the afternoon session of a panel of six women that you know and love that will share for 5 minutes how they hear from God in the everyday. Maybe you want to dismiss all this because you don't get dreams like her. Well, God uses each vessel the way he chooses. And so you cannot disqualify yourself because you don't get dreams like Eleanor. How God speaks to her is different than how he speaks to you, B, or you, Winnie. So, ladies, you owe it to yourself to come, to be stirred. And then that's Friday afternoon, then Friday night. I know what Sherry is going to speak on. And I'm telling you, the result of tomorrow night will be that we will be filled up with a fiery top. We'll be filled. Beth, in Measureless Love, talked about us as being a cup, a vessel. And when we come to the Lord, we ask him to fill us. But because so many Christians are slothful, they don't want to do the work. They want to have a hi-fi God attitude. They want to believe, oh, I said the prayer and I'm going to be fine. You get your once a meal, once a week, and you're fine. No service on your part, no studying on your part. In and out. Churches are filled with people that call themselves Christians that do that all over America. They have not yet been tested as other countries have been tested. The test is coming for America, I promise you. And God so loves us, his loyal love, his loving kindness, that fleur-de-lis that we use as our symbol of that. He so loved us that he gives a girl a dream so that we will talk about it. We weren't thinking we had to talk about this. I was dumb. You want us to share this, God? First of all, they'll think we're nuts. And he goes, what do you think I gave you a picture for? I want it shared. I want it understood. I want them to know that in the days ahead, without memorizing and being able to meditate, being able to translate it into your vernacular, unless you do that with the Logos, you will not stand. You run around with a cup, and you get a drip here and a drip there. And I know I offended people for 3 weeks. I know, because I said, would you quit being work for the body of Christ? Would you quit it? This place is called to go out. This house is called to serve, is called to rescue. But if you're running around in here, I need, fill my cup, Michelle, fill my cup, Christy, fill my cup. Because I didn't spend but 2 ounces of time with God this morning, and so I'm needy. And I need you, Mariana, to tell me how wonderful I am and how good I am. And I need you, Dawn, to tell me that I've done it all right this week. And I need you, my husband, to say I'm beautiful and I'm not fat. And I need. When God intended for you to get all that you need from him. He wants to fill us. If you hang in there and don't get offended, and don't get lazy, and don't get scared, and you keep coming back, you'll get what you need. You will have a beginning and a springboard this weekend to get what you need.
We've got to feed ourselves. You know, we feed our bodies 3 nice meals a day. And we give our spirit man 1 cold snack a week. What's wrong with that picture?
You know, you have got to feed your spirit just like you feed your body. You've got to dig into this word. Get yourself a knife and a fork and sit down, lick your chops, and bite into it. Take a big mouthful and get your belly full. Stop starving yourself when it comes to the word.
This is how we're going to end this, because I could go on forever. I have enough material here that if nobody showed up, I could talk every session. It's I know you know that. But it's ministering to me. Preparing and studying is transforming me. I was a heap today when I went out for my run. I said, God Almighty, help me. I know what you're after. We sang he's jealous. I know what you're after. I know why you created the keep for us. Because you long for your daughters to come and sit, to listen, to agree with, to be transformed. He longs for that. And he's given so many words. One thing, the measureless love, besides the empty cup syndrome, and we got a lot of little cute catchphrases. Now, you start acting like, making me tired because you didn't spend your time with Jesus. I'm going to just say you need a little fill up. I mean, I've got some good phrases from Beth Moore. Thank you, Jesus. She's a good teacher. One thing that is the essence of, I'm going to show you this clip. It's 2 minutes. She said that women, and that's why this is a woman's conference, the men will get theirs on Mother's Day maybe, and they come for you. Women have a real issue with insecurity and jealousy. And she's convinced, and so am I, that a lot of our issues flow from that. And that's where she got the whole measuring and measuring up theme from. Because she goes on and on in this first DVD about women measuring, and that the problem with that is we're measuring, as the scripture says, we're measuring up to another person instead of up to the perfect picture. God's perfect love. God is perfect. He's a perfect picture. But we compare ourselves and we come up short or we come up high accordingly. You know, that jealousy issue, that insecurity issue, that's big in your life. There's other issues that are big. Forgiveness. The unforgiveness in your heart because somebody betrayed you. Somebody let you down. Or you thought they did. You jump at any time, sissy. These issues tonight, I said, God, if we didn't do a Thursday night last year, but this was way too much to get in one Friday and a half a Saturday. And that's why I'm grateful that you believed us. I'm grateful that you believed and came out tonight. I know a lot of you got to go to work tomorrow. I hope a good many of you took off to get the whole full meal deal tomorrow. And because there's cool things you get at the end of every session that will help you remember.
It's
and
a
you,
supersized meal.
Yes. And you don't get that if you didn't come. So don't come asking me for, oh, I missed the afternoon. I'm sorry. I am sorry. You're going to get something tonight to be a reminder. Go ahead and play the tape, the DVD for a minute. I'll move this over because I know you're going to come to the altar.
So anytime God brings us to the place where we're having to stare at something ugly in us, it's so that we can stare at it good before we say goodbye. Oh, somebody didn't hear that. If God is bringing something of yourself for you to have to stare at, it's to take a few good last looks if we're cooperative. He'll never make you face that part of yourself if it is not on his agenda to get you rid of that part of yourself. He's going to give you one last look before he kills it if you'll let him. But if we just take it as condemnation instead, condemnation says, yes, you're right, that is who I am and that's who I'll ever be. I'll never be any different than that. That's Satan's game. That's not God's. Kiss that baby goodbye. If you have to look at something ugly in yourself this weekend, good. Get ready to pucker up. And kiss that baby goodbye. I want to kiss goodbye some jealousy. Anybody but me?
Jealousy, insecurity, unforgiveness, hatred. I could go up and down one list or another, but you already know what your issues are. And so we're going to ask that you be honest with yourself and with God. We must have a foundation of God loves us. Did you hear all those beliefs? Did you hear what he said? Did that list could have gone on for eternity. Believe me for this. Believe me for that. Believe me for this. Believe me for that. Do you understand? Without that foundation. And I'll tell you, this stuff that we're going to get rid of now, that we're going to pray one for another, that we're going to say, God, we want to get rid of it. Anything blockage, any blockage, any old stuff, anything I've carried through my whole Christianity, if we do not line up with his word, he said we will be easily enticed in the days to come. We must take our life and line it up with his truth. If you don't read it and you don't eat it, you won't know it and you will be deceived. You will be easily enticed. You'll end up in happy church for a while and then you'll end up out the door. A lot of happy church going on, folks. A lot of it. But it won't do you a lick of good when Satan starts in on you. When the world gets really evil and ugly. So I'm asking you, as we put some music on, I'm asking you to be honest. Come do some business. I'm releasing women that pray to pray over you. Don't play games. Don't make them guess. Well, let's see if they're a true prophet. Will you just come forward and confess to God? I hate my mother. I hate my father. I hate my husband. I hate my child. I hate my life. I hate you, God. I'm tired. You said you'd do this and you didn't do that. I prayed to you as a child and you didn't answer the way I thought. It's taken me all this time now to believe. Now show yourself to me. He will. Holy Spirit, any blockages in us from unforgiveness, from jealousy, from not having the first model, which is you, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, any and all blockages, we have asked for a miracle tonight. We've asked for your power to be able to grasp it. We cannot in ourselves grasp your with your breath. God, those that lack the oxygen because they don't stand in your presence, they don't let you hover over them, they don't let your ruah change them, your breath recreate in them. Lord, tonight, do what only you can do. Man can't do it. Denomination can't do it. Preaching can't do it. Best friend can't do it. You can do it, God. We need you to do it, God. We need you to do it. We submit to your preparation to pick up this dagger. Come on, girls. Find a place at the altar. I will not orchestrate this. You know what you need from God. Every single one of us has issues of insecurity. Every single one of us has issues of jealousy at times. We measure wrong. We're looking at the wrong things.